And Father, as we go into your words this morning, we ask that you will be the one that will speak to us. Our heart is like a field, ready.
The realities of heaven was made even more real to me in the past few days. Last Sunday, one of my bosom friends in Nigeria, who is also a pastor of, I think, Christ Believers Church, I think that's the name of his church, learned that he led praise and worship in church. And after praise and worship, you know, he just clung to his chest and slumped. His wife, being a pharmacist, performed CPR. He was revived. He went to the hospital, began to pray in tongues, pray for him. He too started to pray in tongues and said after a few minutes, he just looked at everybody, just shouted hallelujah, and he was gone. You know, he must have seen something. Nobody just shouts hallelujah like that and he's gone. Like I said, the realities of heaven, more and more, we are seeing it. And may we all live for the glory of God, that we will not miss it, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we continue from where we had stopped last week. Who can remind us of what we talked about last week? Simi, no, Anike was here last week. Was this Simi Stone? Anike, you are the one here last week. Okay, go. Can somebody give Anike a mic so that we can all hear, please?
I said that we shouldn't always do an eye for eye or think that we should get revenge.
Okay, was that all?
No.
Some more? Okay, let's pass this on to Josh.
Also about not judging.
Not judging?
Yeah.
Okay, pass it to Tammy. What else?
That's what took mine.
That's what was?
That's what took mine.
Joshua took yours. And take another one.
No.
Okay.
Not condemning people.
Not condemning people. Okay. Pass it to Daniel. Oh, which hand was on Zoom? Please, you have to help me to tell me what's happening on Zoom so I will know. Yep. Mommy can't help you because she wasn't here. What's the name?
I can't remember anything.
Okay. Whoever is putting up your hand on Zoom, would you just type your question? Sorry, type your answer, because we will not be able to. Brother Kunle has not gotten us to that level yet, where you'll be able to speak. Yeah, that's what we said now, so you can mute. All right, so have them talk then. Fimiyo.
Forgiven, you will be forgiven.
All right. So, children, you know, see that Brother Kunle needs help. So, all of you that are technical, I need you to be helping him. Where is Adeola Ogunso? Okay, Adeola, I need you here next week to start helping. All right. So, did the Bejides type their own answer? Forgive and you will be forgiven. Okay, and there was an analogy that I described. Who can tell us? Deshola, you want to give it a try?
The only analogy I remember is when you were talking about the plank in someone's eye and how you should worry about yourself rather than others first.
Yes, we talked about that. Also, we talked about something pressed down, shaking together, running over. Femion's typing. So, Femion, next time ask somebody to bring you if daddy is not home, okay? All right. So, we talked about all these things last week and we remember, or if there's anything we'll remember, what Christ has taught us, that whatsoever we have men do unto us, whatsoever we'll have people do unto us, we shall do the same unto others. Because in all these things, one thing we have to know, which is the underlining fact, is that God is our avenger. We don't seek revenge. We don't seek retribution. We don't seek to give evil for evil. But as God gives us the grace, we know that we live as Christ lived. And the way Christ lived was that
week after week,
in ourselves alone, is this thing possible? No, it's not. It's not. If it were possible, it will not be Christian. If it were possible, it will not be Christian. Because what makes it Christian is that a power outside of us must make us able to do it. And that is what we pray for. That is what we pray for. Christ has already taught us that, you know, if what we are about is that if somebody invites us to their party, we're able to invite them to their own parties or our own parties, then it doesn't mean anything. But if somebody who doesn't have the means is what the person we give to, we invite, that is what makes it Christian. And we'll continue in the same spirit, you know, in the same thread today. Let's go open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We'll continue there. Last week, we took a look at Matthew. I think we started from chapter 7, verse 1, and we went to the book of Luke, which expanded on it. And we'll go to Matthew 7, 7 today. And in Matthew 7, 7, it says, we shall ask and we shall receive. We shall seek and we will find. We shall knock and it will be open to us. It says, for everyone that asks, receives. Everyone that seeks, finds. Everyone that knocks, to that person will it be open. And it says that, of what man is there of us whom the son will ask for bread and instead will be given a stone? Or the son will ask for fish and will be given a serpent? And he said, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more our Father who is in heaven? How much more our Father who is in heaven? Today, we have talked about prayer. And in the book of Luke, and we'll soon go there, the explanation of what we are reading here is a further explanation of what prayer is about. And as we know that in every teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to realize the context of what we are being taught. Deshola, I want you to listen properly. Josh, I want you to listen properly because I will ask of you. Okay? What we are being taught, the explanation of when we pray, when we ask of God, do we believe that when we seek, something of God we will find? When we ask something of God, we will receive. Do we believe it? And this is what Christ is teaching us, that we should believe that when we knock, that Jesus, I need this, I want, please give it to me. He is willing and able. God is more ready to give to us than we are even ready to receive of him. But like I said, we have to know the full context, because easily can we then say that, well, if we take this verse alone, we can then say that God will give us anything we ask. Even if we ask that God will kill our enemies, he'll kill our enemies. Right? Tishe, right? Comprende? But then, for us to know the full context of the discourse here, let's open to the book of Luke so that we'll see what is being talked about. Let's go open Luke chapter 11. And from verse 9. Actually, let me read it from verse 5. Luke 11, I'll read from verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Don't trouble me. The door is now shut. And my children are asleep. They've gone to bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Bishola, what is importunity? What does it mean? You don't know? Okay. Professor Anike, what is importunity?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Okay. So, boy 0, girl 0. Let's see. Josh, what's importunity?
Assistance.
Okay, 2 boys 0. What's importunity? Sorry? Sinlessness? Shamelessness? Good try, but that is not exactly it. Okay, let mommy give us the answer. Your Bible says persistence. Okay. Let's go to the dictionary. What does the dictionary say importunity is? That one even... The quality or state of being importunate. All right, please help us before importunate. Yes.
Persistence. Persistence, especially to the point of annoyance.
Okay, the women have ganged up, so you've gotten it. But what I know of importunity is the person who needs, but because there's no other way to get help, you will never give up until you get what you want. That's persistence, not giving up, pressing in, you know. But as they said, shamelessness, because you have to receive it, right? Okay. Persistence, especially to the point of annoyance. Thank you. So this friend that has come to another friend's house because a friend has come from a long journey doesn't mind whatever kind of shame they receive, but they need something. So they will go to the friend to ask. And what he's saying is that God, do we need to beg God that much before we receive from him? You know, the way in those times, and we'll see a lot of it in Ecclesiastes, in Proverbs, they write in contrasts. So they will give you the contrasts to what to the scenario they're trying to paint. So if we, being human, can with importunity receive things from our neighbors, from our friends, how much more God? How much more God? God is not a friend who will say, well, my children are asleep, so I cannot get up to give to you now. God is willing to give to us. But I know that there's something that many of us, especially as we grow in this Christianity, we come to where there are certain things we pray for, we tarry long, but we haven't received yet, or we do not receive. And we begin to ask the question, is this thing really true that God gives? And it's a very valid question. Because we read here, ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be open unto you. And sometimes we've asked and asked and asked, but nothing. And that is why we want to see the context. It's very important. Now, the one we read in Matthew 7, where it says that if your fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more your Father who is in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask him. The context, again, we see here in Luke 11, 9. It's the same thing it says. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Now, it says, if a son, verse 11, ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Just paralleling what we had read before. Or if he asks fish, will he for fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, you know, added to what we, that egg wasn't in the narrative of Matthew. If he asks for an egg, will he for an egg offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the what? The Holy Spirit to them that what? Asks. There is no, in Matthew, what we read was give good gifts unto those who ask. In Luke, what we read here is give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Now, let me take you back to the Old Testament. When the land of the Canaanites was being apportioned for the children of Israel, when they were about to enter into the promised land, there was one tribe who did not have land apportioned to them. That was called the tribe of Levi. every other tribe, even the tribe of Joseph that had been divided into Ephraim and Manasseh, they had land. But there was this one tribe called Levi who did not have land. The Levites were, out of the Levites came the priests, came the high priests, came all those who ministered in the temple. And God did that for a reason, because God was their portion. These Levites, you know, when we talk about the tithe that was collected was meant for the Levites. Out of every town, the Levites had what they, things like colonies where they settled. But for land for themselves, they did not have any land for themselves. That was why God was very angry at Israel, that they had neglected giving the tithe that was meant to support the Levites, support those who ministered at the temple of God. And we even read in the book of Malachi, where they began to give God animals that were defective, blind, lame animals. They kept the best portion for themselves. And these things, when you see, God has a way of ministering to his own, those who he has set apart for himself. And we as his children, we are the same way. Because if God is our portion, then we have everything. We have everything. And we have to, I don't know how to make us know that. That our, yes, we work. We go to 9 to 5.
That day is when we will know that
5 would not meet all the bills we need, we have in the home. We need God. I learned a lesson when I had no job, that God is able to stretch what you have beyond. Okay. See, that's what I thought about kata kata. So is the battery gone or what? Ah, these technical things. May God help us. All right, where was I? God is able to stretch what you have beyond what you think. God is able to stretch what you have beyond what you think you'll need. There are times when you have a lot, but you will see that the situations in life, when they open their mouth, what you think you have that is a lot, it will swallow it up in a very short period of time. But when God's grace is poured on you, brothers and sisters, God is able to take care of us. We can't just by happenstance. And what I mean by happenstance is that, you know, you don't really intend it. You can't by happenstance encounter God. If you don't seek him, if you don't come before him intentionally, we can't meet him. We can't know him in this kind of sphere that we're talking about. We can't by just, you know, thinking it will happen. No, we have to be intentional about seeking him. We have to be intentional about desiring him. And that is what it means to seek, to knock. You don't just go to somebody's house and you want to come into the house and you stand there thinking that the person will know that you are at the door. Who does that? Maybe Sister Buki will do that, knowing that the door will just open. But if I come to Sister Kemi's house now, I have to knock the door. Yeah, this is Sister Kemi. And when she goes into the house, she forgets I'm in the garage and lock the door now. I have to knock. Abby, not. So we have to be intentional. We cannot by happenstance encounter God. We have to be intentional about it. We have to seek him. We have to knock at his door. We have to ask to be let in. Now, let's go on in that Matthew again, chapter 7. It says, therefore, verse 12 now, Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you will that men do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would others do unto you. They say this is the golden rule. Here, Jesus Christ is saying, summation of all the law and the prophets is this. When you come and say, what is the summary of all the law and the prophets? What is the summary that God is teaching us of all the teachings in the Bible? It is this. In another portion, he puts, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So when you take these two things together, everything is finished. Therefore, you do unto others as you will have others do unto you. Can anybody just give me what is one of the ills we see in the world today? Selfishness. Tishe, what is selfishness? Like what? When you only think about yourself. If you want others to think about you, what should you do? Care for them. If you do that, will there be selfishness? No, there won't be. Sister, don't give me one of the ills in the world today. Hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy?
Different rules for different people.
Different rules for different people. Okay, let's look at it. If you want the same rule to be applied to you, would you apply the same rule to others?
You should.
You should. And if you do that, there will be no hypocrisy. This truly sums up the law and the prophets. Any ill, think about it, murder, covetousness. If we look at the long and short of this, what it's saying is that we look outside ourselves at all times, not only at ourselves. Because when we become selfless, we will more be able to live according to what Christ is teaching here. One of the greatest ills, as Brother Wale said it, selfishness. It's because when we think about myself first and myself alone, That is the root of a lot of the ills we see in society. Self first and self alone. But what we are equipping ourselves with, what Christ is teaching us. When we look to God in faith, that the Lord is able to provide all we need. And we can look outside of ourselves to helping others, to meeting the needs of others. Because if we look at it long and short, I will not give to this person because I think I might not have. I will not help this person because I think what is going to come out of my pocket should benefit me first. But if we begin to develop another kind of heart in which we are able to look outside, to look to others, not ourselves first, not ourselves alone, we will truly begin to live like Christ lived. And then what we pray, because we've said it for the last few weeks, that we need help outside of ourselves to live this way. And Christ is telling us, our God is ready if we will seek him for it, to give us good gifts. And the greatest of every good gift of God is the fullness of the Spirit. By virtue of our salvation, we know that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Because there's nobody who is saved without the Holy Spirit. So by virtue of us being saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. But for everyday living, we need the fullness of his Spirit that dwells in us. For what we do in life, for what we do in ministry, and every aspect of life will need the fullness of his ministry, of his Spirit within us. The Bible tells us that it is God who causes the hands of the diligent to get wealth. Tells us that every invention that known of man, it's because of the inspiration of God. All these things cannot be without the fullness of the Spirit within us. And as we ask, as we seek him for it, as we knock, he's willing to give us, because he said, ask and we will receive. Even the work we do, the work you do as a teacher, you need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be good at what you do. The work you do as a nurse, you need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be good at what you do. Doctors, you make diagnoses. How many times have doctors made the wrong diagnosis? But you need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You just see, sometimes God will just give you inspiration. You don't know where it comes from. And we need more and more of this. And there are times when in our workplaces, when in school, you will see some of your classmates come to you. Deshola, how did you understand this thing? I've tried. Tell me, how did you understand it? And you're able to tell them, no, it is not me alone. Yes, I work hard, but I know I don't trust that it's my hard work alone. There's somebody greater that is within me that helps me. So that for the glory of God, as the Spirit of God fills us, we will become the testimony of God to the world. Jesus Christ asks us that we be witnesses of him to all the nations. But if we have nothing, no experience, what would we testify then? What will we say we have witnessed? What can we say about him? What was Jesus Christ like? What does he dislike? How has he helped us? How has he worked within our lives? We have to experience him on a daily basis. In that way, we will then become witnesses of Christ to the world. We will become the testimony of Christ to the world. He is able to give us his Spirit in full measure. He's willing to give us his Spirit in full measure. But we can never come to that full measure by just happenstance, by just mere encounter. If we are not intentional, if we do not, and David put it that as the deer pants for the water brooks, so does my soul pant after you. Have you ever seen a person who is thirsty in a desert? You come thirsty. If you know how they drink water, that is how God wants us to desire, because he will satisfy every desire. He will not come and pour more water on the place that is full, no. So the context we are reading here, of you seeking him, of you knocking, you, like we said, an explorer will not just think that they'll discover just by standing there. A knocker will not just think that the door will be open just by standing there and, you know, walking to and fro. No, you knock. It's intentional. You knock. How many of you have gone to houses to knock and you only knock once? How many? And it is every time. You just knock once, bam, and it will be open. I'm sure the first knock is pa, pa, pa. So you already started knocking three times to start with. You wait, it's not open. You pray, ta, 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 ta. I lie? You just press the bell. Okay, in modern day, just press the bell. But then they didn't have electricity to press the bell. So they gave us the analogy of knocking. And even that bell, as loud as it is, sometimes you have to press it a second time, a third time. But you do it until the door is open. You seek until you find. And God is assuring us that when we seek, if we truly seek, if we do it, we will find. If we knock, it will be open. If we ask, it will be given to us. But we have to. We have to. We have to. May the Lord continually help us. Amen. We'll stop here today and continue by God's grace next week. No, these sayings, I think it's at the end of chapter 7.
What happens at the end of chapter 7?
You are teaching us, help us to be able to do good to others. Help us by your spirit, by your fullness, Lord, to live as witnesses of the Most High, as testimonies of your goodness, of your greatness in our lives to the world. Truly to be, Lord, the light of the world. Father, that we will not hide what you are doing in us under a bushel, but for the world to be able to see, both in our living a life of excellence, our living a life of humility, our living a life of the peace that passes all understanding, our living a life of gentleness and quietness, our living a life that the world will look and marvel, because while they have everything material, they lack many things spiritual. They lack many things that quietens the soul. But these you have given to us freely. But Lord, you have asked us to ask of you, to seek it, to knock before you. We pray, Lord, that you would make us intentional Christians. Christians who just don't stand there expecting it to happen, but who seek you. Who seek and desire a deeper relationship with you. Who seek to move in a deeper walk with you. So that truly the fullness of the Spirit will be ours. Jesus, you promised, you said it in your word, that you are able to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Today, we ask for the fullness of your Spirit within us, O Lord. We dare to ask of you that you will fill us. Holy Spirit, we know you dwell within us, but we want a greater measure. We want a greater measure of you in our lives, both in walking and making us like Jesus, in our everyday lives of being parents, teachers, doctors, engineers, in whatever sphere of life in which we live. We need your help. We need your unction. We need your fullness. Because then can we truly live as Christians, as Christ lived. So Lord, today we pray for it. We desire it. We hunger for it. Fill us, Lord, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.